morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this last Sunday in June. Extend a special welcome to those who are visiting with us, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and we are moving into summer mode. Bible study will be meeting on Tuesday, and this week we are going to be having lunch together, and in honor of those Bible study members who have birthdays in January through June, which is sort of a, we have to do this twice a year. We do it in June or July, and then we do it again in December. And it's a time of fellowship, so that's what we'll be doing at Bible study this week. Also, you will note that next Sunday we're having summer worship in the parlor, so this is the last Sunday for the summer here in the sanctuary for worship. So just want to alert you to that. We will be in the parlor starting next Sunday through Labor Day weekend. Also, something that did not make the calendar, but this coming Thursday at 3 in the afternoon, we will be setting up the parlor. So if anyone is available and would like to come down and help us, we invite you to do that. It usually doesn't take much more than an hour, depending on how many hands and backs we have to move the furniture and set chairs up. But that will be taking place this Thursday. If you do come this week to the church, we are having work done on the north wall of the church, and they're starting, well, they're going to do some work tomorrow, but they're not going to block off the driveway, but they will as of Tuesday morning. So if you are coming to the church this week, please plan to enter from Bickford Road, not the driveway, because the driveway will be closed so that workers can work on the building itself. So please just try and note that Bickford Road entrance will be open, the gate will be open, and you can access it there and then drive through to park behind the church. Also, the announcement on the back page that we are receiving donations of back-to-school supplies. It seems like schools just got over and we're already talking about back-to-school, but Housing Families is planning to do that, to collect school supplies for the children in their programs, that they will have supplies ready to go back to school in late August, early September. And there is a container up on the stage in Judson Chapel to receive your donations. The deacons are purchasing backpacks, and we are invited to bring some supplies to accompany those backpacks. And we'll be collecting those through the month of July. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 476 for our responsive call to worship. These words come from the Apostle Paul, written to the church at Colossae. And I want us to pay attention to these words today because I'm going to be referring to them later in my sermon. So I'm going to if we read responsively from God's holy word, just reflectively and in a spirit of prayer. And so let's read responsively from God's holy word. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. opening hymn this morning is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 96 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. God, you are our guide, our deliverer, and our protector. And as we gather today in your house, we pray that you would open our minds and our souls and hearts, that we may be inclined to hear the gentle direction of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to follow you as you lead us to the place that you have created for us. Forgive us where we have fallen short of your will for us, and renew our troubled spirits with the assurance of your love and mercy. In the name of Jesus, we ask this and now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And I just want to give you some updates and some requests for prayer before I invite you to share yours. One is to continue to remember Peggy Blum's granddaughter, Michelle, who continues to be hospitalized but is off the respirator and is breathing on her own. which is wonderful news. And so she is improving, and we want to continue to pray for her. We want to keep Jim Hickey in prayer as he's seeing more doctors and is preparing to have cardiac surgery in July. So I want to keep Jim in prayer. Phyllis Knight is here today with a celebration. She turned 96 yesterday, so it was a wonderful celebration. And we want to continue to keep David McCurry, Joe McCurry's brother, in prayer. He's been undergoing immunotherapy. It seems to have been very effective. And we just want to keep him in prayer as he may be continuing that therapy further on. And we want to also continue to remember David. Any update on David, Barbara? Okay, so he had radiation. He had radiation. Now he's going to go into chemo. So we want to keep David Tolstrup in prayer as he's undergone the radiation treatment and it's doing something to strengthen his bones some, but also is having some difficulty breathing, so he's starting chemo to attack the lung cancer. So we want to keep him and you in prayer at this time. And we want to keep May Upperman in prayer as well, as May continues to be at home and just trying to keep getting stronger and dealing with having difficulty swallowing. And Joe McCurry had asked for prayers previously and wanted to continue to pray for his cousin, Gerald O'Brien, who has inoperable stage 4 liver cancer, has been hospitalized, may be home now, but really just lift him up and his family in prayer. And also, Mark and Dottie, I briefly got an update, but I want an update on the infant that was born 2 weeks ago, I believe, that was 11 ounces. Oh, a couple months ago. Okay. But just doesn't hurt to keep praying. 2 pounds, 5 ounces from 11 ounces. So that's wonderful. So we celebrate that. We continue to pray for her and her family as she, as she hopefully will continue to gain strength and just, it's a celebration today. We also want to pray for those who have been affected by the fires out in the western part of the state, out of the country, and also those impacted by floods in West Virginia. I did flood relief in West Virginia one summer, and I was there months after, like 7-8 months after the floodwaters had receded, and we were still digging mud out of places. So I can only imagine what it's like for them. So we want to keep those folks in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns? Lana and Dorothy's sister, Edith, she'll be out of the hospital tomorrow. Had back surgery and on the 15th, did you say? Yeah, okay, so it's been a couple weeks, but she'll be out of the hospital tomorrow. And she was keeping it secret. She wasn't telling her sisters everything. Didn't want to worry you. But sounds like she's doing better. Yeah. So we want to continue to pray that she recovers and recuperates well. So we want to lift her up in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? Lisa, we want to pray for you. I know you're traveling, so we want to pray for those who are traveling. Next weekend is a holiday weekend. Some I know are going on vacation, and we want to lift all of those folks up that are going to be away or traveling or doing whatever. Peggy? Yep. Peggy's son, Lenny, in Maine, we just want to lift him up in prayer today as well. We've prayed for him on and off, and we just want to lift him up in prayer. Betty? Right. So the Hickey family has several birthdays in their family, and so we want to lift, celebrate those with them. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Holy and loving God, we are so grateful to be able to come to your house this day to worship you, to spend these few moments in prayer and conversation with you. Lord, we thank you for receiving our private prayers, and we thank you also that you hear our corporate prayers as well. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of life, and as we celebrate 96 years of life for Phyllis, and we've also heard of this infant who was born with weighing so little bit, and that she has gained so many ounces. And Lord, we just celebrate the life that we have here on earth. Lord, we pray this day for those who are struggling with that life, those who are injured, those who are ill. And just lift them up to you and pray as the master physician that you know what is best for each of our lives. And just pray that you would care for those who are in need this day. Lord, we also pray for those who are hurting because of the loss of a loved one. whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a broken relationship. Lord, we lift them up to you and just pray for healing in their lives as well. We pray for your spirit of comfort and peace to be with those as well this day. Lord, we're mindful when we see the devastating fires and floods of how much nature can ravage the land and affect so many people and upend so many lives. And Lord, we just pray for those who have been affected by the fires and the floods in our nation. And just pray for those who are responding to help those who have been impacted by those. And Lord, we know that probably some of our one great hour of sharing gifts will be going to those areas, to reaching out, to helping those in need. And Lord, we just are so thankful that there are those that are able to help when the need is necessary, when the need is there. Lord, we also just pray for our congregation as we move into a more summer mode, as we leave the sanctuary and move to the parlor for the summer. We just thank you, and we know that you are with us wherever we are. It does not matter which room we are in, but we are in your house. We also know, Lord, that you go with us when we leave these walls, that you accompany us on our journeys wherever life takes us during the week. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling the coming days and weeks, that summer is here and school is out and vacations are planned, and most vacations involve some type of travel. And we pray that travel may be safe and the journeys may be secure. And Lord, that if it's a time of rest and relaxation, that folks may return refreshed to pick up what they've been doing. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of life again, and we offer all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We worship God in many ways and in many places. And part of our worship service is an offering, a presenting of our tithes and our gifts, a way of saying thank you to God in a tangible way for all the ways that God has blessed us. The ushers will receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, we present these tithes and these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the wonderful news of Jesus' love with others, especially those who are hurting, those who feel unloved today, that they may know that Christ loves them and let them know that Christ died for them. We ask this in his name. Amen. May be seated. Cindy Huddy will be reading the scripture today.
The scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd of a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord.
Thank you, Cindy. Let's pray together. Lord, these words we have just read and heard from your prophet Jeremiah are words of promise and hope for people who were living in bondage, living in exile, living away from their homeland by a forced evacuation. Lord, at times we may feel that way as well. We may feel that we're separated from our home. We may feel that we're distant from you. We may feel that we need to move closer. We need to reestablish our relationship. Lord, we just pray that this day our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It's the end of June. Where has this year gone? Many events already have occurred in this first half of 2016. Births and deaths, illnesses and injuries, graduations, acceptances at institutions of higher learning, weddings, job transfers, job layoffs, and job offers, retirements. You get the picture. Many of us may have been affected by one or more of these events this year so far. This may be the year that some of us make a move in our own lives. It's no secret that we live in a mobile society. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 16.9 million Americans changed their addresses in 2012 as the recession eased, with 7 million of those moves taking place from one state to another, which was up 5% from the year before. The average American will move 11.3 times in his or her lifestyle. Now, I don't know what a 0.3 move is, but statistically. So, you know, you may want to be thinking about your life and are you near the average of moving 11 times in your life? Or have you lived in the same house all of your life? If you have, you are not the norm by today's standards. A lot of this relocation that's been taking place in our nation is due to work. A company that moves an employee often offers some relocation benefits to make the transition easier. These benefits might include packing and moving of the household goods, helping the employee buy or sell a house, paying for house hunting trips, providing temporary housing during the move, paying for storage of all of those belongings, or moving the family vehicle. All of this is good news if we're a new hire or if the company decides it needs us elsewhere. It's certainly more convenient for us than to move ourselves, which I've done several times. A good relocation package can make all the difference if we're making a transition to a new place. Of course, this constant changing of address isn't anything new. We complain about the post office, but it's a wonder we get as much mail as we do delivered to the correct places. But while moving isn't new, those familiar with the Bible might believe that we're simply following the example of our biblical ancestors, who also moved a lot for work, to find better grazing or living conditions. But whatever the apparent reason, God provided the divine moving company for many of those in Scripture that moved. In the Old Testament, Jacob's son Joseph told his brothers, "So it was not you who sent me here, but God." Some other biblical relocations are Abraham moved from Mesopotamia to Canaan on God's promise of a family and a home. Jacob moved to Egypt in a time of famine. Moses moved the Hebrews out of the Egyptian slavery and back to Canaan. Ruth accompanied her mother-in-law, Naomi, as they moved from Moab to Judah. Perhaps the most traumatic move of all was when the Jews were taken from their homes and deported to Babylon to live in exile, which is where our today's scripture comes in. We'll get to that a little later. In the New Testament, Joseph moved his family, which consisted of Mary and infant Jesus, to Egypt for a few years. And the Apostle Paul was always on the move. None of these moves, I'm sure, was easy. There was no help in packing or unpacking. There was no moving truck that came up and packed our things away. People had to make do with ox carts, camels, and donkeys. Life was often reduced to what one could carry on one's back. But despite the difficult relocations, God, the divine mover, moved the people of God with a package that rivals anything that we might find in a relocation offer today. Because God is in the relocation business. God is an expert at this. These benefits to us apply to us whether we're on our move as an actual physical relocation or on an emotional, relational, or spiritual transition. I want us to consider a few things that are typical of a physical move and also how they apply to us spiritually. First, when we move, the mover takes care of our furniture, all of our stuff. And of course, our belongings may not be handled the way we want. In fact, we may lose some of our baggage along the way. But if God is the mover and God loses our baggage, then it's probably best that it be staying lost. Some baggage, emotional or spiritual, should be left behind. For example, in any transition, it would be good to lose or leave behind feelings of resentment, confusion, impatience, intolerance, guilt, or bitterness. Often what takes up a lot of space in our boxes, in our bags, is clothing. But much of the baggage the divine mover wants us to leave behind also has to do with clothing. You may recall from our responsive call to worship this morning, the Apostle Paul instructs the Colossians and us to rid ourselves of many different items of clothing, which, while making room for other things, the new things would be kindness, compassion, humility, and meekness. Those things take up a lot less space than the other things that we need to get rid of, like anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. Those new things also consume a lot less energy. Second thing we need to think about in our move is the divine mover takes care of the expenses, the resettlement fees. In fact, it's free for us. There's no hidden charges that we'll receive at the end of the move. There's no overweight charges. And this is from the grace of God, God's unmerited favor. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For it is by the grace of God that I am what I am." And he also writes about a period of time when he was emotionally and spiritually in turmoil. But the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul continues, "So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." For the Israelites who moved from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the wilderness and eventually the promised land, God even provided free food along the journey in the form of manna and quail. The third thing we need to focus on is the divine mover offers 24/7 access if we have questions. That might be a selling point if we were booking a mover for our physical move. There are two wonderful and useful apps that we can use whenever we need them. They're known as prayer and scripture. Some of what makes these so easy to use is that no voice recognition software is necessary, and there's no menu of options to wade through. Examples of this 24/7 access is described in the Bible. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known, says the Lord. I have called you by name, and you are mine. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is there all the time. The fourth thing is the divine mover offers certain guarantees. The promises of God. And perhaps the most important of these is peace. For we read from Isaiah, "You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. He will always protect us." And Paul writes, "And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds safe in union with Christ Jesus." And Jesus promised, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried or upset. Do not be afraid." And the last point we need to focus on is the divine mover offers to accompany us on the journey. Doesn't just box us up and say, "See you at the end," but travels with us. Perhaps the most familiar example of this is when Moses led the Hebrew people out of Egypt. God went with them. God's presence was indicated by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. The Exodus was a template for how God relocates people. God makes the move with God's people. That's how God works. That's the standard operating procedures for God. God asks us to go, and God accompanies us. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. For I am the Lord your God." And Jesus promises, "And remember, I am with you always until the end of the age." Another example of God acting as the divine mover, in addition to the Exodus, is the exile, the focus of today's scripture. God's presence was good news to those exiles to whom the prophet Jeremiah wrote. Those exiles had been moved involuntarily to a new home in enemy territory, but now God promised to relocate them back to the land from which they came. God's message to the prophet was hopeful. "Wherever you've gone, I will bring you back." Now, of course, we know that many of these exiles did, in fact, return after 70 years in Babylon. When the Persians defeated a relatively short-lived Babylonian empire, they allowed the Jews to return home. Some of those Jews would remain in Babylon, having built equity and living under the auspices of the empire. But others would pack up again and make the journey back to their homeland. Even then, however, there was a sense that they weren't really home when they got there. They were still living under foreign occupation, an existence that lasted through the New Testament period and beyond. It must have felt for those exiles going back like moving from once being a prosperous homeowner to now being a renter of your former house. Things had changed. But God had not changed. God promised to save the remnant, those few who were left who were faithful to him and to gather his people into a new sort of home. That's what we see in part of the scripture today. They would return to their occupied land, but God seemed to be even more concerned with returning them to a faithful state of mind. The physical address was not as important as their relocation in a spiritual relationship with God. Whether we're thinking about moving ahead or making some changes this summer, or thinking about changing addresses, Jeremiah tells us that the first move we should make is back to God's promises of grace, redemption, and joy. In today's culture, Christianity is becoming more and more a remnant. So our best move is to recognize our dependence on God for redemption from the hands of sin that are too strong for us to break on our own. We recognize that we have been blind to God's vision for our lives. We acknowledge our own lame attempts to do things our way. We realize that we need new birth and a guiding hand of a shepherd. If we want to be better people in the future, we must begin by relocating ourselves closer to God in repentance, in worship, and through confession. Things that aren't always easy to do. But it's this humility and faithfulness that will enable Christianity to occupy prime real estate once again. As God promised through Jeremiah, the nations and the coastlands will see God's redemptive power revealed because they are humble children of God who walk in his straight path. Whatever our physical address, we are properly relocated when we allow God to be the one who moves us. Let's pray together. Lord, for some of us, we have lived our lives like nomads and have moved many, many times, never really putting down roots. And for others, Lord, we may be able to claim that we've lived in the same house all of our lives. But Lord, we know that you call us more not just to physically move, but also to move spiritually. That you are calling us to begin, continue, or renew our relationship with you, to strengthen it, to put our trust in you. Lord, over these summer months, we tend not to attend worship as often. We tend to change our patterns. And Lord, we just pray that this may be a time of reflection, Lord, if we're not in worship, but that we may be focusing on you, reading a devotion each day, meditating on scripture, having a conversation with you each day this summer, Lord. If that's something we aren't able to do during the program year that we're too busy, Lord, point out those moments that we have during the summer to start a conversation with you. Lord, we pray that when we return to the sanctuary in September that we may be different people, that we may be stronger in our faith, that we may be more dedicated in our fellowship to you, in our following of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are the divine mover and that you do not just push us out and take our things and transport them, but that you travel with us. We pray, Lord, that you will be with us every moment in the coming days, weeks, and months. And we ask this all in the Good Shepherd's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the insert enclosed in the bulletin, If You Will Trust in God to Guide You. May the God of the Exodus and the exile, the God of Jesus Christ and all the generations before us, continue to guide us and bless us this day and always. As we go forth, may the words of the Apostle Paul guide us on our journey. The Lord goes with you. Do not be anxious, but in everything in prayer and thanksgiving, present your lives to God, and God's peace will guard and guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.